Hello, hello, welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. Ba-dum-bum-bum, welcome to the Shit Show, J-Bo. Welcome to the Shit Show, baby. Welcome to the Shit Show. I know you feel at home. Welcome to the Shit Show, baby. Welcome to the Shit Show, baby. Welcome to the Shit Show. Welcome to the Shit Show. This is J-Bo. I'm sitting here in the veterinarian portion of the house that I live in. My great uncle was a vet. He was a very popular vet, a very interesting guy. His name was Frank Boggs. He was about 350 pounds. He had a colostomy bag. His clothes smelled like a barn, but everybody loved him. He put heaping tablespoons of sugar on buttered toast every morning, and he basically had no teeth. He had diabetes through the roof. Western Pennsylvania, and probably a lot of other places in this great country of ours, have diabetic socks for sale in strange places. I had never heard of diabetic socks before I moved here, and you would think it's as common here as dentures, you know? It's as common here as wide shoes. I don't know. It's an interesting place. So I'm recording this podcast right now in the apartment above the veterinarian office. I own this house. One side of it is a regular house, although back in the day, they didn't put that many electrical outlets and they didn't put that many bathrooms in. So you got to go the whole way upstairs to use the bathroom, whatever, it's fine. I could really use another half bathroom downstairs, but I don't have the money. Which leads me to a whole different subject on the house is, man, it's great to have a place that I can live and pretty much just pay utilities and taxes once a year, but it's all on me, man, and it's stuff I don't know how to do. I mean, I've put in a few things. I put in some railings, for my dad, who said he couldn't get up to the bathroom, so I put in some little, like an oak railing, and then I made a cool gate, because the old gate had fallen off, and it was just looked really bad, and I feel like I have to keep up with the Joneses. It's not really the Joneses. It's like the Snyders, though. Like, next door are the Snyders. And they're nice people. And I've definitely got the most unkempt house on the block. It's not something I'm proud of, but it's also obviously not something I care too much about. Today, I did mow the lawn. I did sweep off the brown leaves off the front porch, which nobody uses. But there are just some things that, like, there's a pool here. And the pool at one point was amazing, but nobody took care of it for 20 years. Then I moved in, and here I am. It's a $10,000 solution, or $10,000 problem, rather, that needs a $10,000 solution. Either I destroy it, which I think is the best idea. It's a pool, and it's falling in on itself, kind of. I mean, it still looks like a pool, but you couldn't really put water in it. I bilge it out constantly with a bilge pump because it fills up with rain and there's no drainage on it. But, you know, people say, just fill it in. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I'll fill it in maybe. But then I have an old pool and 10 tons of concrete and a fence. I could take down the fence, I guess. That's going to be there for the next 1,000 years before somebody digs all that shit out and then removes the concrete. So if one day it's going to be removed, I think the pool either needs to be fixed or it needs to be demoed, demolished, and taken out of here. I've debated, honestly, whether I can go get a fucking jackhammer and jackhammer that whole thing and take it out piece by piece. But to be honest, I've never used a jackhammer. And that sounds about as likely as me, I don't know, doing a backflip right now in this, you know, 7-foot ceiling. I mean, it just isn't gonna happen. Even if I tried, I'd probably bash my feet on the ceiling and break my neck. It would be a travesty. So that's where I am. That's where I'm broadcasting this amazing, this shit show with J-Bo. And thank you so much for listening. We've got a lot to talk about today. My whole goal with this shit show thing is I'd kind of been neglecting it for a few months. And I had this idea. I was like, why don't I do 52 shows in a year, one a week? And it's like, well, how the fuck are you going to do that? You have a trouble getting one out, man. Like, it's a pain in the ass. But as with anything, if you actually just do it, you know, it makes everything a lot easier. And you know, you're no longer scared of that boogeyman of action, the action boogeyman. People just are scared of action, you know. Objects that stay at rest, that are at rest, stay at rest, and objects in motion tend to stay in motion. That whole thing. So I did one, and it was really easy. And then I did another one. And now, like, every Sunday night, I'm going to do them, and I'm going to put them out by Tuesday. And every week that I've done it, I've done something kind of interesting the prior week so that it's all worked out. I mean, at some point, I won't have anything that interests me to say, but I'm going to still do it. I'm going to do 52 in a week, 52 in a year, rather. Sorry. And my goal with this is to kind of ride the line between cohesive thought and rambling discourse, between sanity and insanity, in essence, to expose the thoughts in my brain without editing anything. Artists are the real prostitutes, and I think that's true, and I don't know if speaking for 45 minutes makes me an artist. I suppose there is an art form to it, but you know, when an artist exposes the innermost secrets of his mind for public gratification, I guess that is comparable to having sex for money, right? Is it? I don't know. Are artists the biggest whores, the biggest prostitutes? That's an interesting question, and it was in some movie, and it clicked to me. Like, it made sense to me what he was talking about. Basically, sure, if you wanted to tell about all the horrible things you did in great detail and how much of a piece of shit you were or how weird you are inside, and you want to expose all that, you might actually make money off it, but it's not what everybody wants to do. Do you know what I mean? It's not at all what a lot of people want to do. The last thing people want to do sometimes is tell anybody anything about the fucked up inner workings of their mind. So I don't know what separates me or other people that are fine with doing that, exposing themselves for whatever they are, putting themselves up for criticism, this and that. I mean, when I was in Seattle, I did a couple records. And to be honest, I hate every record I've done. I like a couple songs. I could probably put together 10 songs that I thought were good out of the 3 records and the EP and the single. It was a band called Smile Brigade. We'll just talk about it. I had done something with a band called J. Hiram Boggs and Satisfaction before that. But Smile Brigade, you know, I can think of 10 songs probably that were really decent. But, you know, it's a little brutal if you've never put anything out into the world when you do it, because that's the end of the arguing. That's the end of saying anything. Like, you can talk all you want and feel the potential and have all this energy, but if you put something out and it sucks, that's the end of the conversation, you know? And I don't know that what I put out sucked objectively, but I will say that I put out one EP called Earring Creaky, and I thought it was unlistenable. I thought we did a pretty good job writing the songs and doing the parts, but I think the mixdown process and the actual production was lacking. It was way too dry. It was way too quiet. It just lacked any sort of oomph whatsoever. And I got destroyed in the press, in the Stranger, this guy named Eric Grandy. And I always wanted to talk to that dude and kind of, I don't know, I didn't really want to tell him off. I know that's just like crying over spilled milk and you need to take your lumps, but I wanted to talk to that motherfucker because he dissed me so hard. He said my vocals were intentionally raspy, and I don't know if that's true. Maybe it's true. He said we ripped off the third song from Modest Mouse, which was true, but I looked at it more like an homage. I used some of the same words from this Modest Mouse song. And I didn't edit myself and think, oh, I shouldn't do this. I just put it out there. And this dude destroyed me. And I know every single friend and band that I've ever played with, that I'd ever played with, and bandmate read that review, and it was terrible, and they probably go, damn, dude, damn. And anyway, so I don't know where I'm going with all this, aside from it's a weird scenario, wanting to put out a podcast, wanting to put out art, but to a guy like me, it's necessary, okay? I love it. Critics be damned. And it is its own reward. That's what you have to remember. Don't do anything. Well, do certain things for the money, but art is its own reward, whether you make money or not at it. Okay, so I went to a Trump rally, a Donald J. Trump rally. Yeah, you heard right. This guy wearing a Dead Moon t-shirt and having long hair and looking like he smokes pot all the time and coming from Seattle for 20 years, went to a Donald Trump rally, and I enjoyed myself. It's not the first, believe it or not, Donald J. Trump rally I've been to. I've been to two official rallies. I've been to the Republican National Convention because my brother works for those guys. I saw him speak at the Lincoln Memorial the night before his inauguration, and then I saw him speak the day of his inauguration. I've seen a lot of Donald Trump. It was very strange. I never got swept up in presidents before that. I didn't start out liking Donald Trump. I thought Rand Paul was a decent guy. Trump, I don't know. He just seemed, you know, he seemed too Trumpian. I don't know. My father, though, I came to Pennsylvania, and he was just like, I said, who are you going for in the presidential, you know, race? And he's immediately like Trump. He just knew. I mean, he knew Trump was the guy. He knew Trump was the winner of that pack. And to be honest, I never thought in a million years Trump would win. It seemed like there were too many things against him. It really, really did. It was so crazy. Like, do you guys understand why people were so angry that he won? Let's leave issues aside and like what he might do. But they're so angry because they were entitled that they were going to win. They thought they were going to, the left, the Democrats thought they would win 100%. They really did. And it was, I mean, Madam President on the cover of what, Time magazine. Every bit of mainstream media said Donald Trump was going to get shellacked. In fact, I believe what even happened back then, this is a long time ago, but the mainstream media is such in control that they made Donald Trump the quote unquote buffoon. They made him a front runner by doing positive features, you know, positive articles on him. They made him the front runner, you know? And I guess they wanted him to face Hillary because they thought it'd be great. But somehow he beat everybody. You know, it's fucking bizarre. So in a way, I look at Donald Trump as a hero. Regardless of what you think about his policies, to go up against this establishment and beat them is heroic to a lot of people. And it certainly showed last night at the rally. People just, you know, it's no different than Obama. You know, people loved him, you know. And people, you could just tell, you could feel the energy in the air. I'm sure Obama was the same way. Hell, Obama maybe even drew bigger crowds. But the rally was in Wheeling, West Virginia. And Wheeling, West Virginia is a town about an hour and 20 minutes from here. And I heard it was an industrial town that was built into the side of a mountain. I heard Trump was coming. I said, that's an hour and a half away. I asked my girlfriend who, like, she's very interesting as far as politics go. She doesn't believe that they even exist. She believes it's all fake. And in a sense, I totally am right there with her. But it's a hell of an interesting soap opera. And there's sensational aspects that just blow my mind all the time. So I asked her if she wanted to go. She said no, but eventually she did go. And we drove down there, listened to Interpol and a band called Sunflower Bean the whole way down. Got there. There wasn't any Antifa. There was a few protesters. We had this great pizza. There was this pizza joint. And let me get a drink of water here. There was this pizza joint, and they served you individual squares of pizza, however many you wanted, and they would cook the crust nice to a nice golden brown. They had a real tangy sauce, like real tangy, man. That tang was really nice. And then they grilled the vegetables on top of that. The difference was they put that through the oven, and then they put cheese on afterwards. So the cheese was like raw, shredded mozzarella. And when the dude asked me if I wanted my cheese melted, I said, well, of course. I was like, what is this, a fucking take and bake joint? And he said, no, that's how we do it. I said, well, let me always do it how they do it. You know what I mean? You go to a place, don't get the daily special because that's something they're about to throw out the next day. Don't, you know, go for the traditional, like whatever the fuck is good at that place. So I went with it and it was unbelievable. It was so fucking good. So we get in line after we ate pizza, and I don't know, the rally started at 7. We were there about 5:30. Lots of brothers, lots of black dudes, sisters, selling Trump merchandise. It was very interesting, culturally speaking, to see a black man sell, you know, t-shirts that are like Hillary sucks, but not like Monica, or who's your daddy, Trump. And these guys were totally propping Trump, you know, saying, Trump's your daddy, you know. And it was really funny. It was really cool because, I don't know, I appreciate that type of thing. When the stereotypes fall away and these are just people trying to make money and they don't really care, you know, about the politics of it all. They're just getting theirs, you know. It's kind of like this morning when I was emotional for some reason this morning. I don't think because of Trump, just because of a whole other set of things happening in my life, but I was watching this African-American gentleman listen to Bohemian Rhapsody for the first time. And it's a beautiful song. And it was early in the morning, and I probably hadn't slept very well, or I hadn't slept that long anyway. I just woke up and grabbed my phone because I don't know, because I'm addicted to that motherfucking phone. I hope it doesn't give me brain cancer. But I was watching this dude watch and listen to Bohemian Rhapsody for the first time. And it was so amazing. It was a dude who you would assume certain things about, that he's into rap music, that he's into whatever he might be into. You shouldn't assume those things, but one tends to. And he was listening to Freddie Mercury and Queen, and he just like, he was saying, man, this shit is fire. This shit is unbelievable. Holy, like, he just couldn't stop. Like, he almost, like, he had pretty much had an emotional experience about it. And there was something about that that made my eyes well up. There was something about all this strife, all this separation of whites and blacks and women and men, and all these battles that for the most part is waged online. Not that it doesn't come into the real world, and, you know, not that things like Supreme Court justices can't stoke these fires and who we choose to be those judges, but there's something about just throwing that all away and seeing a black man have an emotional experience to a band like Queen, who's, you know, it's like white people's music. You know what I mean? And it was just so touching to me and so amazing. And I love that. And I don't know, seeing black dudes hawk Trump gear wasn't exactly the same deal, but it was, it felt good, man. Like we were all on the same page, man. You know, there's so much hatred, and it's stoked by so much disinformation and 6-second news clips and tweets and just very short little bandwidth things that are very divisive. And we really are just human beings. And this past week I've seen on Facebook, I've literally seen families be torn apart, like an angry brother telling his sister that he doesn't care if she's blood, but he will defriend her and never speak to her again if she defends that Blasey, is that her name, Blasey? The woman who accused Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Justice, of sexual assault He literally said he would never. You know, it's just crazy. It's literally a cold civil war. It's a civil war. It's this ideological. And who's winning? I mean, why? It's people vying for power. You know, just divisive fucking politics. Why? Because you want power back. Because you can't stand to see that guy on the bully pulpit because you hated him so much. And you had it in your head that he was so wrong. And all of a sudden, there he is. And people are cheering him. And you can't do a fucking thing about it. And you hate it. I'm losing the plot here probably. But you guys understand my drift, right? This is like an impressionistic viewpoint. It's an impressionistic tactic. Meaning, I choose not to follow strict linear stories or whatever. I'm just hitting you with the thoughts out of my head as they come, and hopefully it makes an impression of what I'm trying to get to you, you know, the information. And we came across some protesters when I was going to the Donald Trump rally, and it was really funny. We walked in about 50, 60 people, and they were just shouting, shame, shame, shame. And they had these signs, shame, and you know, this pussy grabs back, and my pussy and my crack, you know. But this pussy will grab back. I don't know. That's a song. I can't think of exactly how it goes. But, and I walked up to them, and I said, who wants a hug? I said, who wants a hug? And this woman, fairly attractive, goes, I'll give you a hug. I said, okay, cool. And I gave her a hug. I said, see, you just got hugged by a Trump supporter. What do you think of that? She just looks at me real solemnly and goes, First Amendment. I was like, yeah, totally. First Amendment, yeah. And I don't know what she was trying to convey to me, as if I was trying to censor her or she had the right to be there, because I totally agreed with her being there, 100%. Peaceful protest, I'm all about it. It was funny, a Democrat telling me, who lately has been, you know, I don't know if you call me a conservative, but definitely not, definitely a free speech advocate. It was funny, somebody on the left telling me about the First Amendment, because I know about it, because I've seen the censorship that seems to be happening in the media under the guise of hate speech, and I don't think it's just. Maybe that's an opinion that isn't popular, especially among the people that make decisions, but leads me to my next point, where I made a sign that said Free Alex Jones, and I had it all figured out in my head. I was going to put this sign on. I was going to make this sign. I went to Walgreens and got a white piece of poster board and a big paint marker and wrote hashtag Free Alex Jones. Because if you do that and you get on camera, the guys from InfoWars will... you know, you can talk to them. InfoWars is Alex Jones' website. If you don't know about Alex Jones, he's, let's just call him a one-man wrecking crew against the globalist elite. I mean, this dude is a firebrand. He's unstoppable. He's 43 years old. I don't know what he would have been in another lifetime, but certainly some kind of general, you know, or maybe locked up. I don't know, but unbelievable. I don't agree with everything he says, but I do like him quite a bit, and I think his overarching message is pretty rebellious and pretty real, and I appreciate it. You know what I mean? I really appreciate Alex Jones. And, you know, Google and Twitter and Facebook I don't know if Google has banned him. But I know that you can't find his app on iTunes. I know that you can't find his show on YouTube. I know that PayPal took his ability to make money away. On and on and on. And it's a hashtag, Free Alex Jones. And basically that's like, hey, don't censor this dude. If Milo Yiannopoulos says, sunshine is the best disinfectant. Meaning, let him speak. I mean, he's not going out there and saying, kill all leftists, kill all liberals. He's not saying, kill any Muslim you see on the road. I mean, he has some fairly hardcore issues with Islam, the religion. He helped get Trump elected. Certainly that doesn't rub certain people right, the right way. The people in the power at the networks that really wanted to see Trump go down. So anyway, I was picturing, you know, getting in there with a Free Alex Jones sign and standing behind Trump and like with my sunglasses and my jacket. And I was picturing doing some like really sexy dance, you know, some kind of dance that would make me sensational, you know, and become viral and become hated, but become loved, you know, and become infamous and become like some kind of, you know, talker on the InfoWars circuit. But I made the sign and things didn't quite work out that way. I didn't get on TV. What happened was I ended up, for whatever reason, barely getting in there on time, not having a seat, so we had to stand, which was fine. We had a pretty good vantage point. I held up the InfoWars sign once, and a dude passed me. He looked like some big Italian dude with the weird head, with a weird earpiece on, and then I held it up again. He comes by, and he rips it out of my hands, and he rips the thing in half and throws it in the trash. And that was my big fantasy. Like, it, nothing. It didn't get on tape. Nothing. Just some big, smelly, presumably, although I didn't actually smell him. He's just a big guy. You know, they tend to sweat a little bit. He took my sign, and it was totally anticlimactic. But, you know, Trump was coming out, so that was pretty exciting. About 15 minutes before he came out, they started playing, I think it's Rihanna, "Please Don't Stop the Music," boom, boom, and everybody who like would never groove to this song, you know, all the elderly white people, you know, just people in walkers and everything, just standing up and just grooving to this thing. We were like, yeah, here comes Trump. But then music just kept on going. And going and going and going until I had to look at my computer. My startup disk is full. I hope it lets me continue on to what I've been doing and finish this podcast. But about five or six songs later, you know, we went through Michael Jackson. And I told my girlfriend, you know, Trump was really good friends with Michael Jackson. And that type of thing is like, what? Well, Trump, everything I've heard about him, it's like, well, he's fucking, why would he have a Michael Jackson as a friend? I'm like, well, you guys don't know, but Trump was a massive, massive celebrity in the 80s, and he knew everybody, you know? I mean, rappers were propping that dude up in all kinds of songs because of his lifestyle. And then he turns Republican, he becomes a Republican, and man, that's it. Death threats out the ass, Snoop Dogg talking shit. Now, Kanye West, speaking of rap stars, I really appreciate what Kanye West is doing. I can't tell if he's committing career suicide, but I can tell that he feels good and he's sticking out. It's very easy to stick out in a homogenized media scene. You know, or not media, but like entertainment. If everybody thinks one way and everybody fucking hates Trump, but and everybody, you know, resist, Me Too. Not there's anything wrong with the Me Too movement. It's emboldening a lot of women who are legitimate fucking victims. So don't get me wrong, but Kanye steps out of the muck and wears a MAGA hat. And I didn't even realize this last night. And I felt like I was part of the zeitgeist. You know, Trump was railing and talking about African-American unemployment and unemployment rates for women and all this. And I just like cut my hands and as loud as I could, I yell, Kanye! And like 30 seconds, he mentions Kanye West. And my girlfriend was like, do you think he heard you? I was like, maybe he did hear me. And then that night, Kanye goes on SNL with a Kanye West cap and this Trump 30, 45 second, 1 minute little Trump speech at the end, which didn't get aired apparently, but everybody's seeing it today in little clips. It's actually kind of, it's not that great, but it was very interesting. So I was for a moment, once again, like slightly delusional thought, like, oh man, maybe I'm part of the zeitgeist, you know? Like, I yell Kanye, Trump hears it, Trump says Kanye. Kanye's at home before SNL watching the Wheeling, West Virginia rally. And he goes on SNL and he's so inspired that he wears a Trump cap and goes on a tirade and it makes, you know, it goes all around the world. I don't think that's the case, but it was like a fantasy of mine that, you know, I set off this chain reaction. But then I watched some of the clips from the Wheeling, West Virginia rally, and it looked like when Trump said Kanye West, he pointed to somebody, like somebody had said it, you know, right in front of him. So either way, like during the speech, it seemed like he was building up to mentioning Kanye West. It wasn't just out of the blue. You know, we're all one mind, man, hive mind up in that motherfucker. So I don't know, man, the rally was good. It was fun. He said a couple one-liners that were great. He talked about Kim Jong-un and how they fell in love and how they were like bashing each other at the beginning, but then they fell in love. And Kim Jong-un, the North Korea leader, had been writing very nice letters to Trump. And it was just a great moment. And of course, that made headlines the next day. You know, and Trump's fell in love with, you know, the brutal Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un. And that's very interesting to me. When now, okay, so Trump's buddies with him, and you never hear the stories anymore now that Kim Jong-un is playing ball. You never hear these crazy stories like he fed his uncle to dogs. Now, that was a real story. A couple years ago, there were stories coming out about North Korea that he fed his uncle, because his uncle defied him somehow, to hungry, ravenous dogs in a cage. They threw his naked, got stripped his uncle naked, threw him in a cage with dogs, and the dogs devoured him. That was an actual story. But you don't hear that now. But why? Was it not true then? Or is it true now, but they're just not talking about it? Do you know what I mean? Like, how much propaganda are we fed from other countries that we just don't know and that we just don't like? I mean, let's not even get into Russia. You know what I mean? Because we'll never know. They control everything that comes in. But now, Kim Jong-un is only being referred to as a brutal dictator by the left. And by the right, he's a decent guy. Same as Putin. Vladimir Putin. Both those guys happen to be friendly with Trump. So maybe that's why the left will only refer to them as dirtbags and the right is friendly. You know, of course it is. We're so divided. It's crazy. It's the greatest soap opera on earth. I love it. I'm addicted to it. And it's making them money, right? And if Trump does get voted out or impeached, a lot of those news organizations will lose their money, lose everything, because nobody will watch. Trump is so good for business. He's so good for business. And he knows it. He's an actor. I was watching him up there. And the way he was doing things, it was like an actor, you know? More than every president since Ronald Reagan, probably, you know? Because Reagan was actually an actor. I got to tell you about my love for sweet iced tea. I know this sounds like I'm doing a commercial, but I'm not. I love sweet iced tea. I'm like a connoisseur of sweet iced tea. And I must tell you, technology, forget about internet and Apple Watches and Elon Musk for a second, but somehow the sweet iced tea I used to love when I was a kid that we'd make in Florida, somehow they've learned to make that shit and put it in bottles. They really have. And it's great. Pure Leaf is awesome. It tastes like sweet iced tea. Like my mom's friend used to make, Joyce Ann. She'd deliver us a gallon of iced tea every week. Now, at the time, I didn't realize how many calories I was sucking down and probably how on a crash course for diabetes I was, right? Because I like sweet iced tea, but now I lived in the northern parts of the world, such as Seattle, and I realized, well, my tolerance for sugar went down. Would it be, I went down, meaning I don't need as much of it, and something can actually be too sweet. Back in the day, that couldn't happen. It was just like, fucking more sugar, the better, right? That's another interesting thing. Northern lands don't use sugar like southern lands. It has something to do with, I'm sure, the sun and the way humans process it. And we, you probably look at how it all works, and it makes sense probably. But, you know, I was in Sweden one time, and I went to this sugar museum. It was a Viking museum, but they had a sugar exhibit, rather. And they told me how, like, Sweden never had sugar before the Chinese started importing it. And it, like, destroyed everybody's teeth. I mean, it was first known as a tonic. And I understand sugar is a little bit of a tonic, a little pick-me-up. But sugar in the amount that we're all consuming it, most of us are, the drinks, the drink industry, the beverage industry, the bottled beverage industry, how much sugar, how much it's fucking us up, how much it's making us fat, how much it's rotting our teeth, how much it's giving us diabetes. I mean, sugar's as bad as tobacco, easily. Worse. Because there's no age limit. Every kid loves sugar. Wow. I digress. But I love sweet iced tea. But what I'll do is I'll do a half sweet iced tea and half unsweet iced tea. Or half lemonade, which is an Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer's a great beverage. And right up the street from here is La Trobe, Pennsylvania. Now, I'm living in Greensburg. Okay? Greensburg, to my knowledge, is not known for anybody, any famous thing. I don't know why. Like, it probably should be, and it's right up the road from La Trobe. But there's something about La Trobe, man. Something in the water. Something in the philosophy. I don't know. There's an Arnold Palmer Airport in La Trobe. I drink Arnold Palmer's every time I go to La Trobe. Arnold Palmer's from La Trobe, the great golfer. He was a hell of a personality. He was like the Muhammad Ali of golfing. Unbelievable. From La Trobe. Also, you know who's from La Trobe? Mr. Rogers. Yeah, that Mr. Rogers. The unbelievable man who they just put a movie out about. Who was so wonderful with children and so gentle and such an amazing guy. He's from La Trobe, right 15 minutes from where I am right now. Thirdly, is that even a word, thirdly? Rolling Rock. Rolling Rock beer is from La Trobe, Pennsylvania. Man, it's kind of cool when I cruise through there. And the other day, I actually put an application in at the La Trobe Airport, Spirit Airlines. It's this tiny little airport, but I can get down to Orlando and back for under $100. It's unbelievable. Spirit Airlines blows my mind. I talked about this before, but I went to see Ariel Pink for $120. I went to Seattle for $200. They won't give you Coke or chips, but they'll give you a sweet-ass deal and very low fare. Okay, so I told you earlier, my girlfriend and I went to that Trump rally. She wasn't sold on it, although she understands now. She understands that the dude is definitely not a monster. You know what I mean? I think that humanized him, and that's very important. And just like any podcast you listen to, whether it be Ted Nugent or whether it be Alex Jones, by the end of 3 hours, these people are humanized. Why? Because they're humans. You don't dehumanize people. Liberal fucking cuck or that conservative fascist. You know, you got to stop doing that. You got to understand that everything's kind of meant to make you feel that way. Don't be a mind control victim. You know, don't be. Hey, you study the facts. You listen to this person in depth, in context, and you disagree. That's great. Immediately, we got to the Trump rally. And my girlfriend's friend, I won't say any names, but she calls and she was like, "Where are you?" My girlfriend's like, "Did you post something?" Because it's like she doesn't want to be seen in a Trump rally, you know? Despite the fact there were tons of women there and tons of decent people. And like when we walked past those protesters, my girlfriend was like, "Why are they holding signs that we're all fascists and sexist?" I was like, "I don't know. Are you a fascist and a sexist?" "I don't think I am." "I don't know, is that guy a fascist and a sexist and homophobe? I'm none of those things, but I still support Trump." Like, huh, maybe they just don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But it was real conspiratorial, you know. She's like, "Did you post anything on Facebook?" I said, "No, I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't even do that to me. I'm hush-hush about this shit too, because I don't want to deal with the bullshit." So hush-hush until right this second, right? And I... apparently the girlfriend found out about it because I had asked, like, sorry, the girlfriend's friend found out that my girlfriend was at a Trump rally because I asked my girlfriend's mom if she could go. And that got to the brother, my girlfriend's brother, who was friends with this chick. And, like, she basically, after the thing, started lecturing my girlfriend and saying, like, you should break up with him. This is the last straw. Who is this guy taking you to something like that? And it was this huge conspiracy. Like, this is the president of the United fucking States, but everybody's walking around so scared if you're a conservative, but then so emboldened if you're on the left to just say anything. You know, say fucking anything. Like, there was a woman at the pizza place in Wheeling, West Virginia, among 100 Trump supporters, and she had, we want, bring back, on her t-shirt was like, make America Obama, what was it? Make Obama president again, fuck Trump. Let's switch it around. Can you imagine, like, if it was reversed, if it was like a Hillary rally, and there was one Trump supporter in the middle of 100? Like, it was totally peaceful, and people were totally fine with her doing that at this thing. But if it was reversed, this person would have been, like, yelled at and laughed out of the fucking restaurant. You know, so I don't know what's going on, but it's really, sorry, I just got a little distracted. I heard some steps. I don't know if somebody might be coming in. My girlfriend might be coming in the flesh. But anyway, my girlfriend faced a lot of judgment from her friends for going to the Trump rally. And I had to, like, send a message to the mom and the brother and say, hey, look, she went with me. She didn't really want to go. She's not a big Trump supporter. I talked her into it. She was an innocent bystander. And they thought it was kind of funny. But to be so shocked that someone might go to a Trump rally, given the fact that roughly 50% of the country voted for him and he is the president, is a sign that there is something in the air, in the water. Lots of propaganda. Lots of bullshit telling you what to think. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, that's how I feel. I'm really addicted to caffeine these days. It's crazy. I'd like to think of myself as drug-free, but I am downing coffee in the morning, 5-hour energy drinks in the afternoon. Sometimes I use pre-workout, which is like a crazy concoction meant to float blood to your muscles and make your heart pump really fucking hard and make you get a crazy workout, and it's just filled with caffeine. It's great. But I'm totally addicted to that. And I was thinking, one day, could I ever come off this shit? Am I depressed? Am I just medicating myself? Is there stuff going on? I mean, I would be really judged if it was cocaine I was doing, but it's not. It's like caffeine, 5-hour energy, pre-workout, when I'm not even working out sometimes. Although I do use pre-workout when I work out, and it's great. You get a really good workout, and you feel like a beast. You don't want to use it too much. And it's funny, I'm a really skinny guy, except I got some belly fat, which is weird to be skinny, but then kind of chubby at the same time. It's a bad combination. I'm trying to change that. But, you know, I don't know if I, like, I'm not trying to lose weight, because if I do that, then it shows in my face. You know, it's just this weird fucking thing. I think the main thing I want to do is just get healthy. I just want to get healthy with it. What else, man? I wrote a bunch of things down here on my little piece of paper. Free Alex Jones, dreams of getting behind Trump, making it rain. I don't know. I thought a real money move for Trump would be to plant like $1 million and $100 bills at one of his rallies in the ceiling. And at one point, like, say, you all deserve this, you know, or whatever he wants to say, some great buildup, and hits a button and $1 million in cash just falls down into the arena. That was kind of a fantasy, a lot of fantastical visions of what the Trump rally would have been, you know, that I was having. Girlfriend, friends, sweet iced tea. How long have I been talking here, man? Well, I'm going to go ahead and call it. I think I've been talking for like, I don't know, 40 minutes maybe. And that's usually what I shoot for. Maybe it's not 40 minutes. I can't tell. But I do know that my Steelers are starting to play right now. They're going to play the Ravens, and I got to go watch that, man. The Steelers are the only professional sports team of any stripe that I've followed my entire life. And here I am in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to go check it out. Hey, I love all you guys. Thank you for listening. And just keep an open mind. Try not to hate, even if it's on a Trump supporter. Try not to hate because we're all just humans, man. And I know I'm very much oversimplifying it in a hippie way. But it's true, man. Just have a real debate. Don't censor. And just talk with people. And talk with people at length. And see if you can find some empathy, all right? Hey, take care. This is the Shit Show with J-Bo, and we shall talk soon. Bye.